Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. I'm kind of looking at those clouds, too, but I wish they'd drop a little bit of rain and then bring on the sun.
Well,
my lawn needs it.
Well, you know, you sound like my wife. She likes the rain because then that keeps her from having to go out to the backyard and water the garden.
Well, I've been watering my flowers every single night, but I've been enjoying this summer and hate to see it come to an end.
Well, you're on the road. Where are you headed to this morning?
I am heading into, I'm the immediate past chairman of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce, and we have a board meeting this morning at 7:30.
All right. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, you were on the team to try and help get Congressman Pete Hoekstra elected to governor. He did not win the primary, obviously. What happened?
Well, you know, in Michigan we have an open primary system which allows virtually anybody to show up in your primary and vote. We figure, given the vote totals and what happened, we had about 190,000 crossover voters. Now, those are both Democrats and independents who crossed over into the Republican primary, but they're people who typically don't vote in that primary. And when you look at the numbers, the Democrats had, you know, roughly 400,000 people vote, and had about 0.2 million. Kind of discrepancy. The vote is a lot closer in total, and when you have that kind of number of people, it kind of blows up the model. We did hit in an ordinary primary year, and this just was anything but ordinary this year. And you know, it's done. There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, there was a lot of undecided voters out there. That was the key to the victory for Rick Snyder. Why didn't they go to Pete Hoekstra?
Well, you know, we came in, you know, a close second. We beat, everybody thought Mike Cox was the odds-on favor, and we beat him by about 50,000 votes. I think the undecideds probably split, you know, between all the, there were five candidates in the Republican primary. We haven't had a primary like that in my political career. So, you know, we did what we needed to do. I think, you know, the Snyder campaign had a strategy to reach out to a lot of those independents and conservative Democrats and people like that, and they executed the strategy well. In the last week, they just bombarded the folks that they had identified with phone calls and mail and everything else, and that was their strategy, and it obviously worked.
I've seen some news reports out there that almost makes Congressman Pete Hoekstra looks like he's suffering from sour grapes as he blames a couple of groups for not supporting him and causing him maybe to lose a lot of votes.
Well, particularly Right to Life, because he feels that their process was flawed, and you had three very strong pro-life candidates, all who got thrown under the bus in this. And it's not sour grapes. It's calling out what he believes is a serious flaw in the organization. I can tell you there are a lot of legislators that feel the same way, that they have been betrayed by the organization. They've been there with their votes, and they've been there philosophically. And then when it comes time to put up an endorsement, the organization turns their back on them. So I think what Pete's doing is just calling out a fact, and by doing so, hoping that the organization may change in terms of sticking with the people that have been sticking with them.
We're talking with John Trescott from the John Trescott Group. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. John, what does Virge Bonero and what does Rick Snyder need to do to win the position of governor for the state of Michigan?
Well, it's really interesting. I was talking with one of Virge's staff last night, and you know, everybody says, oh, Snyder's got it in the bag. Look at the polling. And I said, well, yeah, 4 years ago with Dick DeVos, we were about 20 points up at this point. All it takes is one mistake. And I do think, you know, in terms of the debates and things like that, I think it'll be very high viewership because people are looking for who their next leader is going to be. They're eager to find out what they stand for and to get a real good impression for who those candidates are. I think from Rick's perspective, he has to stay on task. I know his intent on staying positive, but I do believe that there will probably be some really nasty attacks where he has to engage. He has to defend himself and point out the attacks for what they are. A lot of them will come either from the unions or the Democratic Party. So he just needs to be prepared for that and to answer them very strongly, or have surrogates out there answering for him. I think Virge, you know, while the angry mayor shtick, I think, has worked in the primary, I think he needs to tone it down a little bit. He's a guy who's done a very good job as mayor, and I think he needs to build up those accomplishments. And if I were Virge, I would stress the legislative background, that experience, because that's something that obviously Rick doesn't have. And I would talk about his ability to hit the ground running from day one. And, you know, when you get into October, all bets are off. Things, mud starts flying, and even you could have a very upbeat, positive campaign from both sides, but you get into mid-October, and I would say at this point, all bets are off.
John, are you working for either campaign?
I am not.
Okay. I wanted to clarify that just in case.
I have worked on behalf of Virgin as mayor all campaigns. I did help. And I know Rick. I don't know him well, but he was an Engler appointee on the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. And I would say was pretty close advisor to the governor on economic development and economic issues in general.
In a bizarre situation in the 8th Congressional District, Mike Rogers, who's probably near unbeatable when the election comes up in November, he has no Democratic candidate to run against. And I've talked to not only the Democratic chairman for the state of Michigan, but Ingham County's Democratic chairman, and they really don't have much to say on who's going to oppose Mike Rogers. That's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
It is. And one thing you want to do as a party is make sure you always have an opponent in every race, because a guy like Mike Rogers is a prolific fundraiser, and he really digs in and helps other candidates. So, you know, if you've got somebody to run against him, at least he has to stay home and pay attention to his own race. Now he can be unleashed to go help other candidates, not only in Michigan, but across the country. And I tell you, I've known Mike for a long time, and he is one sharp guy. He's an extremely hard worker, and he will make a name for himself helping candidates across the country, and that will get him a lot more respect in Congress and, you know, the potential for leadership positions and everything else. He is, I think he's a guy that we in mid-Michigan can certainly be proud of for what he's done, but also the way he does the job day to day.
Well, the Democratic candidate that was running against him, Condi N'Gala Mulame, was working in Pennsylvania, does have Michigan State roots as his dad works there, moved back into the area to run against Mike Rogers the day before the election, dropped out because of lack of funds. The day of the election, decided to come back. The night of the election, got out because his father told him he didn't have funds. It would seem that his political career really has some challenges, as I understand he's gone back to Pennsylvania.
Well, if I'm the Democratic Party chairman, I probably take him off my list of trying to recruit for future years. You know, this stuff happens, and you know, it's incumbent upon your party to kind of step in and make sure that you've got what it needs, what you need as a campaign. But, you know, this is one where I do think he was just a name on the ballot. The Democratic Party knows that Mike Rogers is very difficult to beat. And really what this does is really puts a focus on, in about another year, the reapportionment battle that will come as you're redrawing the district lines. I am sure the Democrats will move to try to make Mike Rogers' district much more competitive, throw some Democratic areas in there, and then maybe at that point it becomes a tougher seat. But I tell you, Mike is just one of those candidates where no matter what you throw at him, he's going to outwork you and outsmart you. So I think reapportionment can do what they want, but I think he's safe for probably almost as long as he wants that seat.
Well, we've got one last question for John Truscott, who is the former Director of Communications and Press Secretary to Governor John Engler. When it comes, and let's take Pete Hoekstra out of this. When you're attacked, and do the candidates take this personal? Do they remember that? Does it hurt, or are most of them able to just ignore it because it's just politics?
I think those that have been in politics for a while, there it's pretty easy to let it roll off their back. I think when it gets difficult is when you have family that gets dragged in, either a family decision or something. I mean, as a candidate, you can take it, but when you drag a family member in who didn't ask for this, they're not running for anything, I think that's where most people draw the line, and where most candidates in either party should draw the line. You can go after somebody's record, you can draw the distinctions in what you would do versus what your opponent would do, but you leave family out of it because they didn't ask for this, and I think that goes below the belt.
All right, thanks, John. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Tony. You too.